Oh, my goodness, man. Thank you again for a job well done. Wonderful. James grinned all the way through that song. Very good. One of the things I learned very early on after becoming a minister at the ripe old age of 22 was that part of my job was to have a sense of what was on the minds and the hearts of the people sitting in front of me and to address those concerns, those thoughts that were in their minds. And it didn't take a lot of thought to figure out what is on most people's minds right now, and that is dealing with this coronavirus and being in the middle of this pandemic. So I thought it was time for me to take a few moments and speak about that directly. I know you're hearing it ad nauseum on television and radio and on your computers and everywhere else, but we need to take a very careful spiritual look at what this experience is all about. In 1776, Thomas Paine, writing under the pseudonym Common Sense, wrote a series of pamphlets to inspire and to support and encourage all those who were involved in the revolution against Great Britain. He wrote a whole series of pamphlets designed for that. And in 1776, during the winter, before the Battle of Trenton, he said, "These are the times that try men's souls." That comes back to haunt us in a way even today, because down through the years there have been many times in our history that there have been experiences that tried men's souls, humankind's souls, and so is it for today. As we look back, we've been through wars, supposedly the war to end all wars. We've been through financial crises. We've been through real estate crises. We've been through medical and health crises along the way. And here we are now in the midst of the coronavirus, once again, facing a situation that tries our soul. Thomas Paine also said, "Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered, yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph." I'd like for you to put those words in the back of your mind as we share this time this morning. The harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Now, as we experience this coronavirus in a lot of different ways, for some people it's like watching something else happen. For others, it's come very close to home, and even in our own church family, we've lost one of our own dear souls. To the effects of the coronavirus, so we've been touched by it directly. And in the middle of that, one of the things that we want to do is to say, why? We want to know, why is this happening? How did this come to be? How do we find ourselves in this situation? Why in the world is it happening? And I am not going to offer anything along that line of telling you why. Brain research has shown us that one of the most important needs that the brain has, both human and animal, is that of certainty. The brain needs the information to process, to know what's going to happen, to predict what's going to happen so that we know ahead of time how we're going to behave and what's the right thing to do. And in this situation we find ourselves in with the coronavirus, we don't have that information and our brains are screaming for it. And it's uncomfortable not having that information. One of the things that happens when we don't have the information that we need is we turn to hang on to whatever we can, and very often what we hang on to is fear, because that's very easy and it's very common. We not only feel afraid, but we become afraid. And there's a great difference in those two things, of feeling afraid and being afraid. And my concern is that there are a lot of people now out in the world dealing with this coronavirus from the point of being afraid. And it sounds kind of crude to say it, but I've said it many times to other people that when somebody's afraid, they get stupid. And that happens over and over again. We've seen it, that the way people behave. It's so ridiculous, and we behave without any kind of reason about it. People have gone to the grocery stores and they're hoarding toilet paper and rice and beans. I heard the stories about two women getting in a fist fight over a bag of rice in a grocery store. Another story about a man and a woman struggling with each other over a package of toilet paper. When we get afraid, when we become afraid, we get stupid and we do things that we wouldn't ordinarily do. and I, this is not really stupid, I'm not calling it that because it was a tragedy, but there was a bishop of a church who said that God is bigger than the virus, and I talked to God and refused to comply with the protocols of the coronavirus time. And he gathered his church together, and not long after that, he contracted the virus and died from it. And that's a very sad thing. I'm certainly not making light of that whatsoever. But when we are afraid, when we are being afraid, we do things that go beyond common sense and what we would usually, the ways that we would usually behave. So we seek information. We want to know what's going on, even though we don't know, and in a sense, we can't know. So we latch on to fear. Now, there's a lyrics of an old rock and roll song. I think it was, may have been Janis Joplin, who said that even a bad love is better than no love at all. And even being able to feel fear is better for a lot of people than feeling nothing. But nevertheless, it is there. We also get mean when we are afraid. We get crazy when we are afraid. And we run away from things that we should be facing, things that we should be addressing, things that we should be dealing with up front, but we don't because of that being afraid. And again, I want to emphasize the difference in feeling afraid and being afraid. We become angry when we are afraid, when that becomes a part of us. And we seek people to blame as well. That reminds me of a story. There was a psychiatrist who was giving one of his patients the Rorschach ink blot test. And he showed the gentleman a picture, and the guy said, "That's a naked man." Showed him another picture, and he said, "That's a naked woman." Showed him another picture and said, "That's the naked woman and naked man in bed together." And the psychiatrist stopped and said, "Sir, you seem to have a preoccupation with sex." And the man said, "Well, you're the one having all the dirty pictures to show me." So we want to have somebody to blame. It's your fault that this is happening, but there's plenty of blame to go around. There's people everywhere that are involved in this. There have been mistakes made all along the way. There are many things that should have been done that weren't done, things that shouldn't have been done that were done, and we find ourselves where we are. And hopefully we will certainly learn from that. But there's no one really to blame to satisfy us. So that emptiness continues because we don't have the information. We don't really know what's going on. So it seems useless then to spend a lot of time on that question, why is this happening? Why do we find ourselves in this situation? The other question that's more appropriate than asking why is, we're in this situation now, what are we going to do about it? What is it that we are called to do during this time of challenge when we can't answer the question, why? Now, I have invented a new word. I think I've invented it. I've never heard it before. That is awarefraid. Awarefraid. That's a combination of awareness and afraid. And this is what I mean by not being afraid, yet acknowledging fear. Fear is an appropriate feeling. If you're walking down the street and you look up and here's a 180-pound Rottweiler foaming at the mouth, growling, snarling, coming at you, fear is a very appropriate response in that particular time. But living afraid of every time you hear a dog barking, you go into a panic attack is not healthy at all. So if we can recognize when it's time to feel fear and to feel it with awareness, that's what I mean by aware afraid. Is that we feel the fear, but we have the awareness to know what's going on within ourselves. So we have a threat to our lifestyle. We have a threat in the form of the virus to our health, and it is certainly appropriate to feel fear in this situation, but we don't need to be fear. Say, I feel the fear of this situation, and here is how I'm going to act appropriately. I'm going to do what needs to be done here from a rational, clear point of view. So let's think about being aware afraid in this time where we acknowledge the fear of the situation, yet manage it with appropriate awareness. Now, some of the things that we've been told to do and I think are good for us to do is to see that whatever information we have is good information. And I say this really not being sarcastic, but being painfully honest and open about it. If you're looking for good information about the coronavirus, don't get it from a layperson. Get it from a doctor. There are plenty of people out there who have camera time now who want to tell you what to do and what's going on, and they don't know. There are people on television. There are politicians who are trying to tell you the way things are, and they don't know. But the doctors do know a little bit. Anyone who does know something about the virus is going to be a professional and expert. So when you get your information, don't get it off of a late night talk show. Don't get it off of a celebrity's show. Don't get it from your brother-in-law's cousin's aunt. But get it from an expert if you're going to get it at all. And when you get that information, act appropriately. We've been given some protocols about keeping social distance, about staying at home as much as we can, washing our hands. Those are good, practical, solid things to do. And I was reminded as I was thinking about this that the original name of the Unity Movement was the Unity Church of Practical Christianity. And it is practical for us to follow the protocols to protect ourselves and be careful about how we expose ourselves. So what are we going to do in the midst of this? We're going to be smart. We're going to get good information as good information is available, and we're going to follow the protocols that are there for us. Another thing that we can do during this time is look to the future. Look forward from where we are here. Now again, what we often do is when a situation is in front of us that's not desirable, something that's uncomfortable, something unpleasant, even something that, like the virus, is dangerous, when it's over, what we tend to do is want to go back. Let's go back to where we were. Let's take the financial situation back to where it was before all this happened. Let's take our social situation back to where it was before. There is no going back. We will never be the same after this. At least I know from my own generation that we've never seen anything or had to deal with anything like this coronavirus. And when this is over, whenever that happens and however it happens, we will not be the same. The world will not be the same. The situation will not be the same. This virus is non-discriminatory. I know that I remember back when this first came out and we heard about the virus going on in China, when I got a call that my class reunion in May was canceled. I thought, why are we canceling? That's in May. That's no problem. And then I found out that Nehemiah Week, which is what I was going to be participating in this week at Unity Village, was canceled. And I thought, why are we canceling Nehemiah Week? We can go and do what we're supposed to do. When that first came out, it was somewhere else. It was involving the Chinese, so we're safe. Well, when it spread to a couple of other countries, and it became a pandemic. And then all of a sudden it was like, well, it'll be everywhere but here. And then when it came here, it's like, well, it's in another state, but not my state. And then it's like in somebody else's city, but not my city. Somebody else's community, not my community. And before you know it, we're all in this thing together. And it's been a long time since humankind has been united in any way like this. So there is no going back. We will never be the same after this, and I think that's a good thing. Because we are encouraged in Scripture and the teachings of unity to look forward, to move to take the awareness, the knowledge, the experience we have from this, and take it with us to create something that has never have been, that never has been before. After we have had time to do things different socially, after we've had time to do things different financially, globally, let's take that information and move into something new, something that has never been before. I've been thinking a lot about this for my own personal life, is that as we move forward, what about our health? And I've noticed that despite my proclamation a number of years ago that I have withdrawn my conscious participation in the aging process, my body has not gotten that message completely yet. It's coming along. I mean, you'd never believe I was 95. But I'm working on that. And part of what has come to me lately is looking at the future from the point of hyper health. That is bringing our body to that place that Charlton Myrtle Fillmore talked about, a place where spirit controls our body and not our ego. That spirit controls the processes in our body and not the default setting that we have in our body from human race consciousness. I'm going to say more about that at a later time, not today, but hyper health, so be on the watch for that. And also looking at what I call a hybrid human. You know, there are hybrid cars now that have both electric and gasoline engines in them. And I think that we can become a hybrid human by bringing more and more spirit into expression in this three-dimensional experience. So those two things kind of go together that we can look at sometime in the future. But let us move to the future without fear, without being afraid. Let us move into the future with aware afraid, where we bring together our acknowledgement of the feeling of fear along with the awareness of what the truth is and the truth of our spiritual beingness. We can move forward with being with optimism, with hope, and with possibility. Possibility is something good for us to hang on to during this time. When I lived in Colorado, we had several really, really huge forest fires there. Devastating. It burned so many acres and acres, thousands, hundreds of thousands of acres, actually. But something happened interesting. Those areas that were burned never returned to the way they were before, but they turned into something else. I found out after one of those huge fires, I was listening to a documentary about it. They were talking about the fact that there are plants that will grow after a fire that never would grow otherwise. There are certain things that get burned and cause germination. So in those places where those forest fires raged, in a few years there was new growth, brand new growth that came out of the midst of that devastation. And what came after the fire was different than what was before the fire, and sometimes even better than before. So we look at this possibility for us. Could it be that after this horrible time that we've gone through, that what emerges from this will be better than what was before? Could it be that what comes after this will be better prepared for anything in the future than we ever were before? And could it be that individually we can hold a consciousness that is stronger and deeper than ever before? This is the possibility that lies before us. And in our thinking and in our speaking, the Pope Francis in his Easter Sunday address said this: indifference, self-centeredness, division, and forgetfulness are not words we want to hear at this time. We want to ban these words forever. And to keep our mind focused on that which is true, that which is positive, that which is optimistic, that which is hopeful. Not to ignore what the fact is, not to ignore the feeling of fear, but to acknowledge that I am not the fear. I am living in aware afraid. I encourage you to use that word this week. So I'd like to close with this. John's going to put a graphic up on your screen. And someone gave a metaphysical twist to COVID-19, which is the name was given the coronavirus. And you'll see on the graphic that co is a prefix which means together with. And vid is a Latin root word meaning see. And 19, if you do the numerology on it, 1 plus 9 is 10, and 10 is 1 plus 0 equals 1. So if you look at COVID-19 in a certain way, it tells you together, see oneness. So in the midst of this time that tries our soul, let us together see oneness. Together see oneness. God bless you.
And as we have a wonderful closing number for you, we call attention to giving. One thing in unity that we remain firm on is the fact that as we give, we receive. So whether it's the idea of hoarding groceries or toilet paper, whatever that might be, have enough for yourself, but also give. Give out. And I know so many of you have let us know such good stories, how you are reaching out to each other with little Zoom gatherings and making food and dropping it off, and so many ways that we can give. We are happy to announce here that before we knew we were really going to be hit with this virus, the board voted to send money a month ago to Broward Outreach Center to assist with their feeding program at Easter time and other times. So we had sent them $100. But now, since all of this has hit, and you have been generous in your giving to us, and we have scaled way back on our expenses, we decided to step on out there in faith with our giving, and the board voted on Thursday night to send what a portion of ours that usually would go to some other places within the Unity movement. We continue to send to our Unity World headquarters at Unity Village, and we continue to send to Unity World Worldwide Ministries, which is our association of churches. You see, it doesn't matter whether we make a profit or not. We always give 10% of our gross income, and we want you to know that because we believe that's what has sustained us. Some months we're in the red, but overall we stay in the black. So this month we have decided to send $500 to Feeding South Florida, because food for the many who really, really need it is in desperate supply. They normally get from restaurants, from nonprofits who donate, from overage in a number of places, and all of those sources are not as abundant as they had been. So it's up to us, isn't it? So as you receive your stimulus checks, of course, take what you need for yourself and to stimulate our economy to help bring it back. But be aware that we have a little tool that we use called unexpected income. And when we get unexpected income, we always give 10% of that. So if you can, think about giving 10% of your stimulus check to some source that is giving you spiritual nourishment. We would encourage your giving here, of course, at Unity of Pompano, and we continue to provide instruction through classes and through meditation times to be in the midst of peace. So many ways that we encourage your giving today. And on the screen there is a ways to give through our website, of course, unitypompanobeach.org, where you may use an ACH debit to your account or credit card. You may always mail in a check, of course. You may use your bill pay to have your bank send us your gift. And you can, all of these things, set them up as recurring or one time only. There's also texting that you may set yourself up to simply text a gift to us. We can't tell you how thrilled we have been as we started into this, realizing we weren't going to be able to be passing the offering plate. We can't tell you how happy we are with your giving. Thank you. Those who were never able to give very much are still giving. Those who were able to give more are giving that more so that we can cover those of you who can't. So our hearts go out to each and every one of you. And we thank you. We let you know, too, if you're shopping on Amazon, don't forget to sign up for Amazon Smile, which is smile.amazon.com. And they send us a portion of their donation to charitable organizations. So we just want you to know how thrilled we are that life continues on here. And I remember Myrtle Fillmore, our founder, who... they were in the Unity movement in the Depression times of the early 1900s, and she is quoted as saying, to the fear that was around them about what they were going to do to continue Unity, and she said, let us not hope that the money holds out. Let us hope that our faith holds out. We believe in the prosperity of this abundant world in many different forms. And we thank you for your gift. And now, some music.